Okay, we are up to Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, Chapter 7, Mishnah 1 of Maseches Yevamos. The Mishnah returns to the topic of talking about the various prohibitions as they apply to who a Kohen can or cannot marry and the various ramifications of those things. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Again, Mishnah Aleph. Almana la Kohen Gadol. So in a situation where the widow is married to a Kohen Gadol, which is a prohibited marriage, or a Gerusha la Chalutza la Kohen Hedjot, or a divorcee or a Chalutza to an ordinary Kohen, which is also the forbidden marriage. So in both of these cases, the woman is therefore going to be disqualified from eating truma because this marriage is not allowed in the first place. So says the Mishnah, let's say she brought into the marriage with him some Malog slaves and some Son Barzel slaves. So you'll say, what in the world is a Malog slave and Son Barzel slave? So you remember we spoke about this actually a while back. There's something called Malog property and Son Barzel property. Malog property is basically something that the wife ultimately owns, but he can benefit from during the marriage. And then there's something called Tzon Barzel property, which basically she owns in which basically the husband owns, so that this basically becomes the property of the husband. So again, so Hechnisa lo avdei Malog v'avdei Tzon Barzel. So if she brought into the marriage Malog slaves and Tzon Barzel slaves, avdei Malog lo yechlu b'truma, then the Malog slaves can't eat truma. Why? Because why are they, we're going to work backwards over here, but we'll see. So they can't eat truma. Why? Because she owns them, and slaves of a woman who can't eat truma, obviously they can't eat truma, so she owns them, and so therefore, since she owns them and she can't eat truma, so obviously they cannot eat truma as well. And, but ade tzon barzel yochlu, but that tzon barzel slaves, they can eat truma, right? Why can they eat truma? Because technically the husband owns them, and since therefore the husband owns them, then therefore they are allowed to eat truma. So we'll spell it out a little bit more clearly towards the end, I think, of the second Mishnah we're going to do today. But basically, the idea is that if you are allowed to eat truma, then the people you acquire are allowed to eat truma. So since the woman has acquired, she owns the Malog slaves, and she cannot eat truma, so then they can eat truma. And since the Tzon Barzel slaves, since they're technically acquired by the husband, so since he can eat truma still, so they can eat truma, even in this disqualified marriage. Says the Mishnah, now to define, how do we understand what a Malog slave is versus a Tzon Barzel slave, says Neshave Elohim Abde Malog. These are the Malog slaves. Im Misu, if the arrangement between the husband and the wife is basically as follows, that if the slaves die during the course of the marriage, Mesula, then their death is she's liable for it, like they're her loss. So if you need to replace them, it's all up to her. She's the one who loses the money that the slave was worth. Then hosiru, and if they increase in value during the marriage, then hosirula, then their increase is also her gain. Meaning that if the marriage ends in the husband's death or his divorce, she gets no compensation for the loss of the slaves. But if they are still alive, then she does get to take them as they are, even if they're worth more when the marriage is over. And therefore, since this profit and loss are both hers, then she's going to be considered to be the owner during the course of the marriage. And therefore, even though he is technically responsible, the husband's responsible for feeding them, they cannot eat the truma because they are owned by the wife, who herself is not allowed to eat truma. And then says the Mishnah further, Ve'iluhin Abdei Tzon Barzel. These are the Tzon Barzel slaves, that if they die during the course of the marriage, Mesu lo, their death is his loss. Ve'im Hosiru, and if they increase in value during the marriage, Hosiru lo, then their increase is his gain. Meaning, in other words, that any sort of change in the slave's value during the course of the marriage is going to be the husband's loss or gain. And that since he guaranteed that if he died or divorced her, she would receive the amount the slaves were worth at the time of the marriage, then regardless of what they're worth when the marriage ends. So in other words, if he dies, he'll have to pay, and they get divorced, then he'll have to pay her the value of the slave, even though he's no longer alive. So that's a loss. And if the slave increases in value and they get divorced, then he doesn't have to pay her. He only has to pay her the original value, so he essentially makes money, so that gain is also his. So therefore, says the Mishnah further, Hoil who chayav b'acharayusan. So since he's responsible for guaranteeing them, meaning that as he absorbs the loss and he also receives the gain, seemingly, so therefore, harei il yuchlu b'truma, they can eat a truma, since this responsibility defines him as the owner. Now, says the Mishnah Beis further, further explanation of this, if you will, that Bas Yisrael Shaniseis LaKohen, or the other side, I guess, Bas Yisrael Shaniseis LaKohen, that if a regular Jewish girl, but who wasn't a Kohen, marries a who wasn't a Bas Kohen, marries a Kohen, and thereby she's allowed to eat his Truma, and she brought slaves into the marriage with him, Bein Abdei Milog, Bein Abdei Son Barzel, whether they're the Milog slaves, or they're Son Barzel slaves, then Harei Ilu Yochlu Truma, then they can eat Truma, right? This was the idea that I thought maybe might have made sense in theory to have been placed before the first mission, and that is that in a regular marriage for a non-Bas Kohen to a Kohen, is that if she brings in slaves, whether they're Avdi Malug or Avdi Tzon Barzel, then Harei Ilu Yochlu B'Truma, they always eat from the Truma, and therefore the case that we just said previously is the exclusionary case when the marriage is not allowed, and the Chiddush is that the Tzon Barzel slaves still do get to eat because they are technically owned by him, but ultimately the Malug ones don't because they're owned by her and she cannot. But in a regular case where it was a good marriage, it was a normal marriage, a regular Yisraelis marries a Kohen, then in such a situation, then both of her slaves are allowed to eat truma because she can eat truma and obviously he can eat truma. And then finally, the Mishnah base concludes Ubas Kohen Shanisis Yisrael. If the daughter of a Kohen now married a regular Yisrael, so she went into the marriage, and because she went into this marriage, she is no longer allowed to eat truma. Right? She was allowed to eat truma from her father before she got married, but then she married a Yisrael, so now she can't eat truma. So v'chnisa lo, and then she brought slaves into the marriage with her. Bein abdi malog, bein abdi k'tzurim barzel. Whether they're Malog slaves or Tzon Barzel slaves, then Harei Ilu Lo Yichlu B'Truma, then they can no longer eat Truma, right? The Malog slaves can't eat Truma because they belong to the wife, and since she can't eat Truma, they can't eat Truma. And the Tzon Barzel slaves cannot eat Truma because they belong to the husband, who's also not a Kohen, and therefore they cannot eat Truma. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Beis. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Gimel, but for now, we'll stop right here.